So it was
very
helpful to get the timeline going at the NFC meeting so that we could get our, you know, station going on it.
Good. Anything else? That's it?
That's it. Paulina, okay. Going to start with a question?
Go ahead, Paulina.
I have a question for Chris. Chris, what is the current mechanism that KPFA is following to come up with a budget, given that, from my understanding, the finance committee at KPFA may not have met? Can you update us on that? Who is in charge of overseeing the budget?
Okay, so let me just back up and state that yes, that is correct. There is no finance committee at KPFA. I don't know how long that's been the case. I believe it's been the case at least since I've been involved with the station. So at least 3 years at this juncture. And as far as what the mechanism is, the treasurer has liaison with the business manager and with the general manager and hammers out the details of the budget. That's how it's been conducted for the past 3 years. And I think that that is the way it's being handled right now. I would assume that that's the way it's being handled right now, I should say.
Follow-up, is there any reason for there not being a finance committee?
You know, it's strange that you should ask me that question because I remember about a year ago when people started talking about the fact that they had finance committees within their LSBs. I was surprised by that because I wasn't even aware that most stations had them. So I guess every other station, in fact. So no, I don't know why. I don't know the reasoning or rationale behind it. So I'm sorry. I really can't help you with that. I wish I knew, but I honestly do not.
Thank you.
This is the chair. I have a question also along those lines, Chris. I believe that one of the purposes of having finance committees is to, get some transparency and some public input on the budget. So I'm just wondering, is there any mechanism within the way they do it to provide any of that you're aware of?
Yeah, I mean, the budgets are submitted. Let me think about this. I know that the budgets have been discussed by the LSB. And I think what happens is this is I do remember the mechanism by which this happens, actually. When a draft budget has been completed, the station business manager comes before the local station board and gives it's about a 1 hour presentation that she gives detailing all the aspects of the budget. I wish I could say that everybody present at the meeting understood all those details fulsomely, but I think most of it goes over everybody's head. But yes, she's really good about coming to the board and presenting those and presenting a printed copy of those budgets. So, in fact, there have been these copies of these budgets have made it around the listservs and been widely questioned and criticized in the past by people that are interested in this subject. So that's where those things have come from.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or any other reports? How did we get all the stations? I think we did.
Paulina with another question, if I may.
I'm hearing Paulina, and I heard someone else.
I was asking, did we get anything from KPFK there?
I thought we did hear something from Fred, did we not?
Yes.
Oh, Fred was that.
We haven't heard anything from WPFW.
Yeah, that's there.
That was Nancy.
Well, Nicarino is
and,
the treasurer.
Right, and he's not here tonight.
He told us. I reported about what he told the finance
yes.
team.
Yes,
you
did. Okay, I heard Paulina. Did you have another question?
Very brief. I'm wondering if people can just reflect on whether how easy or difficult it has been for them to get transparency from local stations, from their own stations, in terms of the budget process. And just curious to hear people's thoughts, if any. I mean, you know, I don't want any names or any necessarily anything that might be considered like personnel matters, but just curious whether people have had on this committee have an easy or a more difficult time, or what the necessary adjustments might need to happen in order for us to work better as a committee in terms of being able to have a conversation with our management to help draft the budget. Thank you.
Okay. Do I have any volunteers? Would anybody like to comment on Paulina's question?
Sure, I'll comment. Dwayne.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, I think this is something Teresa and I can agree on. KPFT has had a storied history of a very active finance committee in the last at least 10 to 12 years I've been associated with it. There's been very much up to 13, 15 individuals of the LSB that are engaged, because we do believe in transparency. We do believe that accountability comes from more than just six eyes on a budget, particularly a station's budget. And so we've lived up to that responsibility very seriously, and I'm proud to say that, even with the politics that goes on at KPFT, notwithstanding any other station. But we believe, I think our actions have shown over the last several years, that we believe in holding the manager accountable to the budget. We believe in review. We believe that laws stipulate among the A through M responsibilities of an LSB. If you refer to the bylaws, it's A through M, and one of them is to work with the general manager and to confer and agree on a budget. And I think one of the advantages we've had with that is having a very astute treasurer that knows something about finances, having a finance chair that run a business and understand how business and the budgeting practices are and how important they are. And so any station that is lacking that, obviously transparency may be an issue, but accountability is a bigger issue. So we do have our problems at KPFT, but I think we could be a model with respect to how serious across the board, across the faction, that we take serious the budgeting and the finance committee at KPFT.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Nancy.
Anyone else? Nancy, go ahead.
I think it would be very helpful if we could establish a policy on what financial information the finance committees, the local finance committees, should be expecting to review at the finance committee meetings. I know that NEDA was reviewing the practices of the different stations and the control mechanisms and all, and I think that could be part of the policy that we review to check to make sure that the stations are performing these various, or have in place these various controls, and to see some reports on them and documentation and, I know there's a lot of detail that we are asked to fix in the audits, and I don't know how far we've gotten on that. I know that NEDA has been reviewing the practices of the gap practices at the stations, and I think if we could establish some kind of policy that we could recommend that the PNB pass, and so that the finance, the local finance committees would have something to, you know, review, and they would have that job to do, because they, like somebody who's just saying, they're not necessarily knowing what they should be looking for. And if there's a policy that says this is what you should be looking for, then they can look for it.
Mr. Chair, I call for the order of the day.
Okay, we're out of time for this item. And let us go ahead and move on. And I see that the next thing is formula for central services payments. And again, I want to point out that that's a duplicate of number 9. This is number 8. So we have, unfortunately, we originally scheduled that 55 minutes, and we only have about 20 minutes left in the meeting. So I'm sure we'll be able to use that up. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, I think the board requested that I send around a spreadsheet for this, and I don't remember doing that. Am I mistaken about that, or did I actually do that?
Did
anybody receive that spreadsheet from me? Okay.
I don't think so.
Not lately.
I think I overlooked it then. And here's the thing, is that I just went through and I reviewed that document, and it's just horribly out of date. It's really, really out of date. And with all due respect to the body, in light of the fact that I dropped the ball on this by not sending that around, I don't think it would have been terribly helpful to the committee. And I'd like the opportunity to shore that those numbers up with all of the review that I promised the board that I was going to send. I remember that I was going to send along a little analysis of where we'd gotten to last time with this issue too, and I failed to do that as well. There was a lot going on over this past couple of weeks, so I beg your forgiveness, and I will get it on the agenda for next time.
Great.
Good. Is there anything that anyone wants to say about, you know, shall we have a discussion about this at this time, or do we want to wait for Chris to do that?
Our Paul for a fast one.
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah, I think, all right, it's unfortunate we don't have it tonight. We were going to, the timeline says to have it tonight, but the timeline doesn't always work out. Chris has done these things for the past. We've looked at them. The spreadsheet I saw is from quite a number of months ago. So if he wants to update it and then send the stuff out, that I think that will facilitate things, because in my opinion, it would be probable that we will, if we do it the way we did it before, he'll have like 2 or 3 options, and we'll pick one, and that'll probably be it, and we'll go from there. So yeah, I think Chris sending us the new version of it is probably what we should do.
Okay. Anyone else? I hear what I think is background noise. That wasn't anyone requesting the floor. Was that you, Teresa?
No, I just asked, do we need a motion for that, or can we just go with it?
I think we can just go with it. Everybody
okay.
Comfortable with that? I would like to just do a little summary of where I thought we were in discussing it. We had some discussions about how to proceed, and one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we included was, well, I guess first of all, it's how you're going to, what's the basis of your formula going to be, and there was some discussion of using membership. I think just from my own point of view, there was a more realistic discussion of revenue, basing it on the revenue of a station rather than the membership, because that, you know, who knows? It may be parallel, but I think maybe not. And then there was also also perhaps basing it with on revenue with an allowance for realism and overhead. And that had to do specifically with WBAI in that, you know, we in the past and even currently have an extremely high tower rent. So our revenue does not really give a good reflection of our ability to pay. So with that realism, trying to come up with something that people can actually afford to pay, possibly make some adjustments along those lines. So does anybody want to comment on that or add any other items, you know, in the, for the general consideration?
Fred?
Go ahead, Fred.
I think the most realistic formula we came up with was a percentage of revenue. The problem I see at this point is everything has changed with this COVID-19 pandemic. In case of my station, our revenue has dropped to half of what it was back in March. And so how do we deal with that? I think so probably a percentage of revenue is probably the best formula to use.
I appreciate that, Fred, and I know that the chair is not generally supposed to do this, but I'm going to take the opportunity to comment on what you just said. And by saying that in these uncertain times, I know in the past we've had discussion about setting a formula, the advantages of setting a formula that wouldn't have to be recalculated in relatively short periods of time, set up a simple formula that would last for a year. And that would be the easiest way for the business managers and the other financial people at the different stations to deal with it. But I'm thinking now that not just based on Fred's comments, but based on circumstances in the world, that perhaps we want to reconsider that idea and make it a formula that we will need to recalculate based on this pandemic not going away. You know, we're playing whack-a-mole with it. It pops its head up in one place and goes away and then goes to another place, and how that may change our numbers. And also one of our members recently sent around some articles that dealt with National Public Radio's experience in the pandemic, and apparently it reminded me of KPFK, that their income has fallen off tremendously from donor-related income, and they're attributing it to the fact that people aren't in their cars driving back and forth to work. So they're not getting the drive time spikes that they normally would get, and it's killing their revenue. And that may be what's happening at KPFK. It may be happening elsewhere. So I'm just suggesting that we might want to re-examine the question of having a simple formula that will last for a year at a time.
Dwayne?
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, certainly, this is a preliminary discussion, and obviously any decision is going to be made at the PNB, so I would reserve some of my strongest points of argument for that forum. Nevertheless, I think as Fred may have just pointed out, and you can kind of argue around it, add or subtract, but the reality of the matter is almost every entity, everything is driven on revenue. It's not driven on membership. It's not driven on cyclical expenditures, expenses. It's just a simple formula that you don't necessarily go and recalculate or revisit, because that simply will only complicate a fairly simple process. And that is what you bring in, you give a percentage of it to the foundation. I think that's the best way moving forward, but also note, and will note, that it's incumbent upon the national board as well as the national office. And I believe we're moving in that direction with respect to creating money streams and income streams that's independent of the station for the national office to be affected. Because obviously we can't continue to be affected and move this foundation forward and build this foundation from where it is now, which is pretty low compared to where it was. in its terms of its relativity to radio, period, and community radio specifically. So we're going to have to focus on creating new revenue streams for the national office that's independent of the station's contributions. But the station's contributions, in my opinion, ought to be static. They ought to be predictable. Everybody ought to know what they are. They shouldn't be complicated formally. And as respect to NPR or any other entity, whether it's the churches, whether it's other nonprofits, all have suffered. And you can, there's a plethora of reasons why. But one of the reasons that Pacifica and the stations are suffering, and I'm a living witness and example of it, that if you don't have a plan and if you're not touching these people with emails and even phone calls and even letters, snail mail, if you're not touching these people, keeping these people engaged, letting them know that you are, in fact, on the air, this is what you are going to be doing, and you need their support, this is where you drop the ball, because I'm not going to give if you're not touching me. Most studies and most research have shown that for every touch of your donor or every touch of your contributor, you're going to receive a certain percentage increase in their responsiveness. This is just common sense, business sense.
Are you done, Dwayne?
Yes, I am.
Good, good. Thank you. I wasn't sure if you got cut off or that was a period. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing no
hey,
other.
James.
Yes,
James, I'm sorry. I could just add one more thing, and that's that this idea of dynamically modeling the revenue has been. I've been thinking about this a lot since we got into this whole COVID thing. So I'll try and incorporate a way of doing that. Anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that, yes, KPFK has kind of affected my thinking on how this should be done. So I'll try and add in an extra way of doing this. It might involve more reviewing of the financials, but we have an active accounting department at this point. So I don't think that it's a very heavy lift for us at this juncture. So thank you.
Okay. Anyone else on this subject? It's now. I don't know if my clock is correct. I have 7 minutes after 10. Does anybody else have the time? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
It's accurate. I have the same number.
Okay. So assuming that that's accurate, we have another 7 minutes or 6 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes rather. And we did have scheduled 5 minutes for new business at the end. So why don't we move into that now? And I think there were some people who had some items they might want to have brought up under new business.
Nancy,
so why don't we... I'm sorry, was that Teresa?
Nancy.
Oh, Nancy, I'm sorry. Well, go ahead, Nancy.
I'm sorry, I wanted to go back to the question that you asked earlier about is there anything that can be done to help, and I misunderstood. And you were talking about anything that could be done to help get the budgets going, done. And I realized I didn't answer that question. But I think the answer I would give is that it would be very helpful if we could get the coding of the income done correctly. Because as we heard today, some listener support was... Actually, it was major donor support that was coded as listener support. And so it skewed the listener support. And so if you're basing your budget on a past year, you would think that you had more listener support than you actually had. And you would budget for more than you could actually raise. So if we could really get folks to get their... business managers and work with NEDA to get that coding correct so that folks know that they got a budget for major donor or they got a budget, to get those numbers right so they know what they, how they can construct their budgets more accurately.
This is Paulina with a question.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Nancy, thank you so much for that comment. In fact, I'm wondering whether there is a foundation-wide policy as to how these things should be coded, because this is something that local finance committees are working on right now. Well, the ones of us, those of us who do actually have a local finance committee working, and we're very much elbow deep in that work right now. So, what's the? I'm just curious for those members of the committee that have been on much longer than myself. I'm new. What's the directive? What's the policy for what's considered a major donor as opposed to just a listener supporter?
Paulina, I'm gonna redirect your question, if you don't mind, to Anita, and I'm gonna add to it the question of whether or not we have the budget templates that we had spoken of, and whether or not she has codes that would be helpful to help the stations with the coding.
We probably
did I hear Duane there as well?
Well, I think I was going where you were going. That's something Anita could point out to us, because if you look at the budget, there are codes on the budget. That's how we know what line items are. But I think you have to refer this to Anita.
Right.
Yes.
So go ahead, Anita. Thank you.
The chart of account or codes are on the template, and that is how staff knows. I'm talking about it on the station level, of where it's going to go, if you will. For us, a major donor is probably $1,000 on up. I don't know what the situation was, but I'd like to hear a little bit more. Maybe someone can send me an email about some revenue being miscoded, because that is being done at the station level. Would love to find out so we can look for it. And see if we can help in any way.
May I do a quick follow-up question?
Go ahead, Paulina, yes.
Yeah. No, I realize I've seen the codes. That's exactly what Anita said was very helpful, is exactly that. So, Anita, would you be willing to, if the local finance committee were to forward you our questions about how things are being coded. It's not that we don't know what the codes are. It's that I think from looking at the local numbers is that perhaps things are coded incorrectly or just could be coded better or more consistently across stations, which is where I think your expertise would come into, would be very useful. So thank you.
Be happy.
Nancy to the staff.
I want to make sure that Anita was finished. Were you done? Okay,
yes.
Hold on. I've got to. Okay. So now, please, I was talking over everybody asking for the stack. Could we? I think Duane was first. And who else did I hear?
Nancy.
And Chris.
And I know I heard our Paul. Anybody else? I think there was one more.
Nancy.
Chris.
And Nancy.
Okay. Yeah, I got you, Nancy. I had you second.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
And I'm not sure I got you in the original order. I apologize. Go ahead, Duane.
Okay. Being recognized, I would like to move to extend for 10 minutes.
Nice move. Do I hear any objection to extending for 10 minutes?
Okay. Now, may I reclaim the floor?
Of course. Of course.
Okay. Thank you. I think it's incumbent upon us to know the purpose for the codes. And this is one of the underlying reasons why it's important to have an active finance committee, because it's at that level, as Anita pointed out, that this is done at the station level. So if you've got 6 eyes compared to 10 eyes compared to 12 eyes, and some of those eyes, as Chris referred to, across, because they really don't understand the concept of budgeting, nor do they understand the concept of accounting. But when you've got individuals who understand those concepts and make those contributions to their stations, then they're going to ask the question, why is this and what does this represent? Then why isn't it in this line item, or why isn't it on this code? Why did you code it that way? That's the significance of having a very active and engaged finance committee. that is made up of members that don't know anything about financing, don't know anything about budgeting, don't know anything about accounting, but some who do as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Duane. Nancy. Nancy, you may be muted.
Yes, I was. Sorry. Yes. So with respect to listener support and major donors, what's the difference? I think we need to put that in a policy. And I would think that listener support is what comes in during pledge drives, regardless of whether or not it's $1,000 or less. And major donor is what the GM goes out and gets and people go out and beat the bushes for after listener pledge drives. It's, you know, outside of what's raised during the pledge drive. So if you're trying to budget for how much you can raise during a pledge drive, you know, $1,000 might be part of the normal thing that gets pledged. And but if, you know, you have to start calling your friends and saying, you know, doing some off-ear, you know, fundraising, that seems like when you get your major donors. I don't know. That's just some questions. But it seems like it has to be kind of based on your budget. Like, what, you know, if you expect to go out and find so much in major donors and you expect to find so much in listener support, you need to, like, you know, keep track of those during the year so you know what to expect the following year.
Thank you, Nancy. And now we have our Paul.
Could you add Fred after?
I'm sorry, Fred. Oh, Fred, I didn't get you on this. I'm sorry. Yeah, if you don't mind, after our Paul. And then
okay,
Chris.
So, I'm losing my track. All right. So, yes, chart of accounts. We had a chart of accounts many years ago, and it sort of drifted. And then, again, this is, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago maybe? I may be getting exactly how many years ago it was. It was kind of redone to some degree, and it was sent out. It was sent out on paper. So I don't think we have it in electronic form. And so that was done. And recently, in the past number of months, I know the interim CFO has reported about the chart of accounts and the need to make it all uniform, which kind of, you know, perked my ears up because it's supposed to have been uniform from years ago. So if we have different stations doing different things, that's not good for a variety of reasons, and lots of things can go badly with that. I am wondering if NETA is thinking about redoing the chart of accounts, or if they have the old chart, relatively old chart of accounts, are they just going to enforce that and send it out to all the business managers and general managers and say, here's the chart of accounts, this is how you do it? Maybe that needs to be really addressed. You would think it wouldn't need to be, but maybe, you know, the way the stations work, people have drifted into something else. Regarding listener support and major donors, this was a huge fight long ago. I remember that, oh, gosh, 20 or 30 years ago, we were having fights about this. And this is before this form of governance came into being. We were having fights about what constitutes a major donor. And it needs to be nailed down. The fight back then was some people wanted it to be very low, and some people wanted it to be high. So it was a fight of should it be $500 or even less, or $5,000 or more. And so there was a lot of stuff about that. So we may not be able to dispose of that with a 2-minute discussion next time, but we should dispose of it one way or another. I know I have my thoughts on it. Also, you have other things. Stations do things that are not listener support. You have the community events. At WBAI, we have a special thing. We had a special thing of somebody who was able to secure Broadway theater tickets at a very reasonable rate. And so that was a regular thing that was going on, but it wasn't listener support because it wasn't pitching. And so you have some forms of revenue that don't fit into either listener support or major donor. And again, major donor is, you got to put a number on it. So, we may need to spend some time on that. I am hoping that we can reach a good decision on what is a major donor, because we've also had people call in donations during regular fundraisers that are very obviously major donor territory. Plus, we have people who call in listener support, and nobody would dispute that over the course of about a year, some of those people do become major donors because, 100 here, 200 there, and they do that over the course of a year, and they're a major donor, but they're listed as listener support. So this is something that sounds like it should be simple, and we could make it pretty simple, but we need to get ready to think about it a bit because it's not as, for some stations at least, it's not as simple as it seems at first blush. All right, thank you.
Okay. Anita, I was going to, if that's you, I was going to ask for the permission of the next two speakers, Fred and Chris, if they wouldn't mind letting that question be directed to you. Is that okay, Chris and Fred?
It's fine with me.
Chris?
Yeah, that's fine.
Wonderful. And I just want to say that Anita and I have talked about this a little bit as far as what it would cost and the difficulty involved in revamping the entire chart of accounts. But Anita, I never did get to ask you, what about making minor adjustments and or perhaps just figuring out what the current chart of accounts that we're supposed to be working with is and enforcing it so we don't get things like bequests or, some other thing listed as, listener support?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wanted to comment. CPB defines that $1,000 threshold, if you will, as a major donor. So, again, that is the industry standard. On the chart of accounts, I have an individual that works on special projects, so I had her to go through to look at your GL. So what I'd like to do is probably send you this email with her review of it. She did not spend too much time on it, about 13, 14 hours, I think is what she said, over 3 days. But essentially this, your Pacifica's general ledger analysis of everything as far as the chart of accounts, and then her thoughts behind how it could be cleaned up. So essentially, and what we're saying by cleanup is that the descriptions along with the numbers match consistently across the board. And then essentially you would do a review with each station to make sure that everyone is essentially using the same code, if you will. If it's a contribution or a major donor or an expense, because it's really in the expense area that it looks like that there's a lot more variance. But again, we've have that work not completed, but essentially at least it gives you a good idea of the skill set here of changes that you might want to consider. So, and I will send that to the group if they'd like to see it.
Oh, absolutely.
Nancy, with the
thank you very much.
I'd like to move to it.
I have to return to the stack, if you don't mind, because we only have one more minute in our extended time.
I'd like to move to extend for 6 minutes.
Any objection?
Make it 10 minutes, Nancy. I have a question for Anita.
That's fine with me.
I'd like to get back
on. Okay, let's go to the amendment first. Is there any objection to extending? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Didn't we agree that we were going to talk about this at the next meeting? I thought we agreed that we were going to talk about it at the next meeting. Chris said he was going to do some work on it, unless I'm just totally.
No, I think you're right. I think we will need to talk about it at the next meeting, but we're kind of hot on the topic right now. I wouldn't mind, myself personally, I wouldn't mind extending for 10 minutes just to finish this up while people have it, you know, in the front of their mind. So why don't we go to the vote before we run out of time? Let's go to the amendment first.
No,
and if anyone objects to extending? I'm sorry, Dwayne, what are you saying?
I don't believe there are any objections, Chair.
Okay, well, let's go through with the process. Any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Hearing none, now we'll vote on the main motion. Any objection to extend for 10 minutes again? Hearing none, good, okay. So we're extended for 10 minutes, and now we had a clamor for the stack, and someone had a question for Anita, and we had, let's go first to the two people we had on the stack originally, which were Fred and Chris, and then we'll go to the questions.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Fred.
Thank you. The only thing I can add here is our local finance committee has met three times this month dealing with the budget and going over financials. And we found a number of major errors of miscodings in our budget that is brought up a lot of consternation. I mean, what happens is that we have $100,000 major donation, I think, in the car donations. And, so this, you know, this leads to confusion and it's not a game of finding out who made the mistake so much as, this would seem to be a simple situation, but these things happen. And it really, you know, screws up your analysis of your income because, you know, you have something that's oversized and something, you know, that is, is missing. I don't know what else to say, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Anita's report on the chart of accounts and seeing if there's some good solutions. But there seems to be a lot of this happening in Pacifica. I'll pass off to Chris.
Thank you, Fred. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm pleased that people are so interested and concerned with this issue because the major donor income category has been a definite puzzle point for me for years now. There are donations that come in that are above and beyond anybody's expectations, and then there are people that contribute $2,000 every year. So that's part of regular income. So how to differentiate that, given that it's all lumped into that one category, is a pretty serious problem, I think, especially when it comes to allocating for budgetary reasons or for central services or interest expenses or any other category that you want to use based on revenue. I mean, you have exceptional revenue and just regular revenue. And so I think really what needs to happen here, and the thing goes on in the expense side, by the way, you know, things happen. There's a firing that ends up being illegal. You get sued for it. You have to defend yourself. That's an expense that you didn't anticipate. You don't budget for that, and nor should you. The idea would be that that's what we have an organization for, to step up in instances like that and take care of those things. But and the same is true for bequests, right? I mean, those are exceptional forms of income, and those should go back to the organization in the same sense that the organization was taken from under those very expensive circumstances that arise from now and again. And so I think what we need to do is reach a point on our budgets where these incidences, extraordinary instances, are pulled out of the budgeting process. And so that's just a completely different discussion, I think, than the one we're having right now. But I really think that it's something that should be done. And I think there's probably a good way to do it, because if you look at revenue items, like, for example, if you look at KPFA's books, you can see all of the revenue items ranked from the largest to the smallest. You can sort by that, and you can figure out where those breaks are, where between exceptional and regular, between normal and really abnormal events. And so I think this is something that's possible for the entire organization, and I think it's something that should be done. So I look forward to future conversations on this subject. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And we had some questions for Anita, and I know I heard Nancy, and I think there were several others. Shall we have another stack on that? Do people want to give their names again?
Nancy.
Well, this is Dwayne. This is Dwayne, and I request to have a final comment, but put me at the bottom of the stack.
I'm not sure that that's allowed, but right now you're at the bottom of the stack, so let's see how that goes. Was there anybody else who wanted to be on this stack?
Yeah.
These are final questions now, because we're running out of time.
Just Nancy. I mean.
Yeah, Nancy, I already had you. Nancy and then Dwayne. Okay, why don't we finish up with Nancy and Dwayne then?
Okay, so it seems like, you know, there the categories, we have categories for various reasons, and Anita identified one of them. CPB says we have to identify anything over $1,000. So, but we have a code for major donor, and we have a code for listener support. Is it possible that we could have like a code for major donor, like a subcategory of listener support, major donor listener support, which is a separate code from major donor, and then at some point those two major donor categories could be lumped together? And just, you know, and of course we need to know, you know, how we did on car donations. There's reasons for having these different categories to follow trends, bequests, you know, what's the trends and other types of income, and what, based on what the trends are, what we can expect or not expect. I mean, I think if we identify the reasons why we want these different categories, why it's important to put them in different categories, then we can, that will help us to decide what categories we want and maybe have some extra ones.
Okay, Dwayne, you're last at bat.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to acknowledge, and I'll do this more formally at the PNB, but to Anita and the organization, NETA, I think I have been remiss in not acknowledging the work that you've done, and to thank you for holding out long enough to where the PPP came around and allowed us to at least make you half whole. And I think that that's a testament to your commitment to the foundation. Moving forward, I hope to work more closely with you and the IED or the ED, should we get one, in trying to secure more funding with respect to an 8A SBA loan or some of the other options that's out here, because I think that's just not something we've concentrated on, because we tried to put out these massive fires. And now that, as the president say, we're dealing with embers, the fire is still raging, but we don't have to concentrate on the embers anymore, and we ought to be starting to look at the big picture. So that's an acknowledgement, a thank you, and a commitment that I hope you and Lydia take me up on that offer.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'm going to encourage Anita to respond to Dwayne very briefly and catch us up on how we stand with paying you. I know you have a good announcement for us.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you very much for the acknowledgement. You don't know how good that makes me feel. It really does. because I think we have tried very, very hard to not just to catch up, but to be able to respond to as many folks. And we do have a lot of questions throughout the, as several of us right now, I think there's four that continuously do work on this account. But again, I take a lot of pride working with clients. So very quickly, again, thank you very much for that. I will say also that Pacifica has paid us the total amount, not the total. I think outstanding is about $62,000, but we received $200,000 in 100 increments. The second just came in last week. So, again, very, very pleased that we are what I consider also fairly current. So, but thank you. And thank you for asking.
Some good can come out of COVID, huh?
Yes.
All right. So I don't believe at this point we need a motion to adjourn. I think I can just announce it. Thank you all. I appreciate everyone's demeanor and contribution.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye. Good night.